South African private equity industry. It's a great pleasure to have Tonya van Lille, CEO of SAVCA, which is the industry body in studio, to talk a little bit more about what has been a very exciting start to the year. In fact, Tonya, good to have you in studio.
Michael's always great to be here with you.
Now, I was chatting to Ethos Chief Executive Stuart McKenzie the other day, and he was saying that he's picked up a lot of interest, a lot of renewed interest in the asset class, a look for alternatives, as we do seem to be going into a very late stage of the listed equity cycle. I think a lot of money, institutional and otherwise, is looking quite closely at private equity at the moment. Is that something that your members are seeing as well?
Michael, towards the end of 2017, we felt that our industry and our members had a really tough time. But at the conference this year, in Feb 2018, we felt a renewed energy from the industry and from our members, saying that they can sense that more investors are interested in the asset class and that more money will be allocated to the asset class because it consistently outperforms listed markets on various fronts. One of the panelists actually said he feels that the investors are now coming to the meetings with their checkbooks and not just their notebooks.
Yeah, that's a very good point you raise. But also, the industry as a whole has been recasting its image somewhat. And we know the president has acknowledged that the growth of the South African economy is going to really be sustained by small businesses. That's where the jobs are going to be created. And he's provided a lot of focus and attention on small business support, on incubation, and obviously reducing the regulatory red tape for small businesses. What role do you see SAVCA playing in this regard? Because I know you're quite active when it comes to the venture capital space.
So we are very active in the venture capital space, and we represent venture capital fund managers who invest in the small businesses. So we partner on various events with the likes of Simadisa, with Andy, and a few others to support the entrepreneurial space in South Africa, not only from a fund manager perspective, but also to help entrepreneurs be investment ready and educate them in terms of, you know, VC fund management or VC money is one avenue of funding and equity, but there are a few others as well. So where we can, we try and educate and help entrepreneurs understand what are the avenues for funding.
And back to another one of the president's earlier points was around the youth employment service. The fact that we're trying to create a million work experiences, it's got the buy-in of the CEO initiative. It's not traditionally a place where you would find private equity playing an active role when it comes to a campaign like the Youth Employment Service. Do you see a role for SAVCA in any of this?
SAVCA actually just came from one of our strategic board meetings, and we are actively embarking on a transformation strategy. And part of this transformation strategy is to see how SAVCA plays a role in supporting our industry to transform,
right,
but also how can we help and create the kinds of jobs needed and get people into the industry and gear it up for the future, because the industry is growing. We need more talent in the industry. So there's definitely room that SAVCA and its members can play in help creating jobs in initiatives like the Youth Employment Initiative.
And that's at two levels. I mean, one can talk about the transformation of the actual private equity general partners. So are we creating space for emerging managers to come out? Are we opening doors via the Eskom Pension and Provident Fund, for example, to go out and seed very often first funds and to build track record? And then on the other side, the portfolio companies, because that's really where you see the big impact, the fact that private equity investors invest into companies that must employ hundreds of thousands of people.
Exactly. So that is why it was important to carve out SAVCA's positioning. So we're starting with our own members and our own fund managers, but ultimately with the need to see how transformation is translated into portfolio companies.
And that transformation, obviously, when we talk about transformation in the South African context, will really increase the pace of normalization in the South African society. And that's what we need to grow the economy at the end of the day. There's no way we're going to be able to grow when we continue to get stuck on this particular issue. Now, you've recently launched your inaugural industry awards. What are you hoping to achieve with an industry awards program?
Part of the industry awards initiative. It's to celebrate 20 years of SAFCA. This year we are 20 years old. We celebrated our 20th birthday at our conference. But it's also to celebrate the successes of private equity and venture capital investment and what it's done for businesses and ultimately for the economy. So it's about having a look at what these investments have done in terms of environmental, social impact, contributing to the South African fiscus, and to really showcase the benefit of both private equity and venture capital in an economy like South Africa.
And I see you've partnered with Investec. Why Investec specifically?
Investec is one of those organizations that recognizes the value of entrepreneurship. If you look at their own humble beginnings.
Very entrepreneurial culture. Stephen Kosser won't mind me saying they started out as a bucket shop and look at where they are now.
Exactly. And they appreciate how entrepreneurship can drive and the growth of the economy. And that's what where we see the synergies with Investec.
I believe the call for entries have closed. It closed on the 15th of April. Is that correct?
It has closed, but we have received a few requests. So people
for an extension.
Always. So there is still room. We have about a window of another week or so. If anyone is interested, they can still log on to the Industry Awards website and register their portfolio company.
Super. And I'll tweet out any information a little bit later on in the show if people want to know where to access that. But otherwise, just go on to the SAFCA website, and I'm sure all the information is there. When are you actually holding the awards? Where's the ceremony going to be taking place?
The ceremony will be taking place on the 8th of November at Monte Casino.
At Monte on the 8th of November. Tanya, let's not leave it so long between chats next time. Great seeing you again.
Thank you, Michael.
That was SAFCA CEO Tanya van Lille with a bit of a quick fire update on the state of the private equity asset class and also a very exciting development in the industry's inaugural awards, which are due to take place in November. You're listening to Classic Business on Classic 102.7.
To see just how rewarding having a Standard Bank Gold Card can be, catch your next million Wednesdays at 8:27 p.m. on SABC1. Standard Bank, moving forward. Standard Bank is an authorized financial services and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back to Classic Business on Classic 102.7, and we're going to talk about two topics that I didn't initially think I'd ever be talking about together: distributed ledger technology and philanthropy. But I've actually got a friend who's working on a project in CSI redistribution and looking very strongly at distributed ledger technology because of the efficiencies. He has some views on where the inefficiencies in the philanthropic or charitable space are, and he believes that that cryptocurrencies, blockchain, might be able to create big improvements. So how is cryptocurrency and blockchain impacting philanthropy? To find out, I'm joined now by Gil Bates, who's CEO of the Charities Aid Foundation of Southern Africa. Gil, great to see you again.
Good evening, Michael, and good evening to your listeners, and thank you so much for having me on.
Now, the technical underpin, I think, of digital currencies might be a little bit scary and overwhelming to most people, but I think the good news is that you don't need to understand that in order to appreciate its impact on charitable giving. You just need to understand some of the key features, and I think the first is that they are decentralized. So what does that mean for charities?
Michael, I think you're absolutely spot on, and I think when us mere mortals think about the engineering and the mathematical constructs that underline and support this kind of technology, it's quite terrifying. But as you say, happily, we don't have to be in touch with all of that, but we do have to understand the possibilities, the opportunities, and of course the challenges that it presents. But as you say, quite correctly, it's a public ledger, it is decentralized, which means it takes out the need for an intermediary, like, for example, a bank or a law firm. And I think that's what's one of the things that is very attractive about it, because it's very easy, it's safe, and there are a lot of efficiencies built into the system. But as you say, first of all, it takes out the middleman.
Absolutely. And from a geographic perspective, and for charities, it really could be a massive benefit, because it opens up and broadens that universe for fundraising.
It absolutely does, Michael. And although in South Africa, we've been somewhat late adopters of this technology. However, be that as it may, I think the first thing to say is that we need to know that this technology is coming. And whether or not we are technologically inclined, whether we love it, whether we are terrified by it, we have to embrace it because it is going to be impacting our sectors, our donors, and our beneficiaries. So we would do well to grapple with it right now to really leverage off the benefits.
Now, the second thing about Bitcoin that I really like is that it's totally transparent. So it means you can trace the currency all the way through the system, and that's got applications in other fields as well, corruption, for example.
Indeed.
But I don't want to digress too much. What does it mean for donors? Because here, at least, we've got a way for donors to absolutely and transparently track the funds that they're giving to philanthropy.
I think that's one of the major assets and positives about this technology, Michael, that a donor can track the direction and the trajectory of the donation, but can also immediately, in real time, track the impact. Now, impact is very, very critical because more and more donors want to know what is the return on the investment in terms of social impact. And Bitcoin and blockchain will give you that instantly. In a heartbeat. So that, of course, now really disrupts the issue of monitoring, evaluation, and reporting, which is a major cost factor that some donors build into their donations, because they'll give you a donation, but they do want, you know, the monitoring and evaluation reports to come out of that. And that is a complex system in itself. And so this technology will completely negate the need for monitoring and evaluation. That is lengthy and that is often costly. So there's a savings right there.
Absolutely. And in terms of fundraising, if you can quite clearly demonstrate the exact impact that those funds are having in a way that is, as you say, is cost effective, but almost real time as well, it creates less friction, shall we say, in the
Indeed.
Fundraising process. But for me, it also imposes a lot of discipline on the charities as well to demonstrate that they're using the funds effectively.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's absolutely critical. And again, this technology provides charities with that opportunity because everything is on the blockchain. As I say, it's a public ledger where all transactions are fully available to see. So you can at a glance see the finances, the governance, the boards, where the monies are going, what kind of projects are needed to be funded. So, you know, in many ways, it's the perfect storm if we can just get our minds around the fear of the unknown.
Absolutely. Those are all very positive. On the potential threat here, is there a potential threat that certain foundations or charitable organizations might even be disintermediated in this entire process? I mean, you talk about cutting out the middleman. That's
yes.
obviously got to be a very real threat.
Certainly. Absolutely. So I think that is a threat, and the middleman will be cut out. You know, if you take it to a logical conclusion, we might not even need auditing firms, for example, because that kind of financial information and data will be fully available to be assessed. So certainly there are risks, and with any new technology, one needs to grapple with the opportunities and the threats. But as I say, we would do well to get our minds around this because it is going to become a reality, possibly not in the very immediate future, but certainly in the medium term future.
Well, I certainly see a lot of opportunity, so many people actually working on projects in this space that I think it might be quicker than we actually realize. Gil, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure, Michael. You're most welcome.
That was Gil Bates, CEO of Charities Aid Foundation Southern Africa, here on Classic Business on Classic 102.7. Up next, the old world.